Today I speak to Professor James McQueen at Radboud University Nijmegen in the Netherlands. He's a professor of speech and learning and has been doing research on language for over 30 years. Nijmegen is a leading facility in the field of language learning. They combine behavioral science, neuroscience, psycholinguistics, linguistics, and a genetic approach. McQueen's research focuses on learning and processing in spoken language. He seeks ways in which knowledge about how sounds and words are learned in native and non-native language to improve language education. Thanks so much for coming on.
It's nice to be speaking to you.
Great. So you know a lot about learning language, especially from research, and so you're looking for ways to improve teaching methods and also developed evidence-based methods for training and language learning. And what were the most remarkable results you had so far, and how can they be applied?
That's a big question. One line of research has been looking at how we learn new vocabulary, The idea there is that there are processes by which we improve our ability to remember words through doing nothing at all, that is, through sleeping. So if you learn some new words and then are tested on them the same day, you show a particular pattern of behavior. But if you are tested on the same new words the next day or the next week, so after you've had an opportunity to sleep, then your response to those words changes. What happens is that those words become more fully integrated into your existing dictionary of words in your head, into your mental lexicon, and actually start to fully function as words after that process of sleep-related consolidation. Mm-hmm. And that's an exciting finding, because it opens the door for apparently kind of science fiction idea of trying to improve the way people learn vocabulary. The idea would be that if you've learned some new words, then you hear about those new words, you hear those words again, spoken at a volume that's not too loud to wake you up, but while you're asleep. Mm-hmm. And colleagues have shown that reactivation of memories during sleep can boost your memory for those words the next day. Mm-hmm. So the fantasy idea is, and that's what we want to try to work on with respect to application, is to try to turn that into reality and show indeed that presenting new words to people as they're sleeping can enhance their learning. Imagine you've moved to a new country and you're trying to learn your French, increase your French vocabulary or your Spanish vocabulary, wherever you are. Then you learn some new words and then you go to bed that night, and very quietly played in the background, you hear those words again. And the theory of this memory, the sleep-associated consolidation process, and the results that we already have suggest that should really boost your ability to remember those words the next day. Mm-hmm. So that's an application that we would like to see realized in the near future. But it's still a dream rather than a reality at the moment. Yeah. So that's one interesting finding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, this is only about words that the person has learned the day before, right? It's not about, it's not possible with new words, with completely new words.
So the results suggest that if you're going to present words to people while they're asleep, it should be reactivation of words that you've heard before. It's important to stress that. So it's not a crazy idea, which is that you can just learn some completely new words, mm-hmm, by only hearing them when you're asleep. Mm-hmm. In other words, ideas like that developed, you know, back in the 1970s or the 1980s. You know, just put your Walkman on and listen to some new words while you're sleeping. And there's no evidence that that works. Mm-hmm. But the what is possible, and there is evidence for that already from Bjorn Rasch's group in Switzerland, is that presenting words that you have already learned reinforces and strengthens that your memory for those words if you hear them during a sleep. Yeah.
And do you think there will be other applications to learn while being asleep than just learning words, maybe sentences, grammar, understanding so better?
That's exactly the direction we would want to take this project in that we're hoping to get funded. Mm-hmm. We would want to expand, we would build on what we know about word learning in at least two other directions. So one would be in the direction, as you just said, of looking at the sentence level and asking whether that you can see improvements in the learning of grammar. Mm-hmm. So again, let's take French as an example. If you're trying to learn which nouns are masculine and which are feminine in French, some simple aspect of grammar like that, and you've learned some of that knowledge during the day, then potentially, and this we don't know whether this works yet or not, but potentially representing those nouns with the appropriate articles, mm-hmm. so le whatever and mm-hmm. la whatever, during sleep may enhance your memory for that knowledge too. And the other direction is to go in the direction of improving sound learning. So one of the challenges that anybody has who tries to learn a new language is that it comes with having to learn new sounds. So mm-hmm. it can be very difficult to learn the new vowels of a language. It can be very difficult to learn particular new consonants of a language. A classic example, of course, is speakers of German who have to learn in English the th sound mm-hmm. that you have yep. in think, for example.
Yes.
So that's a hard sound to learn. And we know that there's some indications from some labs in the States that sleep is also beneficial for consolidating your knowledge about new sounds. So if you've learned how to interpret a th spoken by one speaker on one day, then after a night's sleep, you can show the ability to generalize what you've learned about that new sound to this when you're listening to a speech of someone else, which of course is a critical part of really learning to understand, to be able to comprehend that new sound.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the idea would be potentially reactivation of the new sounds while you're sleeping could once again enhance your memory for those sounds.
Mm-hmm. So this is always about consolidation. It's never about learning something new while being asleep, right?
No, it's always about consolidation. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's the idea is that the new material needs to get into the brain
mm-hmm.
While you're awake. Yep. But then you take advantage of the consolidation processes that happen naturally as we sleep. The reactivation will happen internally, as it were, and there are processes by which the new information is then integrated into existing information that you know very well,
mm-hmm.
and this reactivation process is supposed to boost those consolidation processes. Yes,
mm-hmm. And this could work with new sounds. Could it also work with accent reduction?
That's possibly the case. We don't have immediate plans to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the work that's been done has been on the perceptual side. You know, when you're lying asleep, then you can hear stuff, and that hearing those new sounds can or words or bits of sentences can boost your comprehension abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that has any consequences for how accented you are as a speaker is something that we would need to investigate,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it would be interesting to think of ways in which hearing native like utterances during sleep might potentially lead to accent reduction, but I've got no, I'm not aware of any evidence that's looked at that question yet.
Okay. And do you think consolidation is always better while asleep, or is it a possibility that if I learn, for instance, this morning, like I learn new words and then I consolidate exactly the same way I would do while asleep just a few hours later, do you think that the consolidation while being asleep is always better than consolidating it at daytime, or is there just a time saving of you don't?
Well, I think there's the time saving of being asleep and not doing anything else at that time. There is evidence to suggest that these consolidation processes are more continuous. It's not that you only do them when you're asleep and you never do them while you're awake. So in principle, you can consolidate your memories of sounds and words during the waking day. Mm-hmm. Which of those two is ultimately the more effective is something that we also don't have evidence for. But in principle, one thing that has been done is also to look at questions like whether taking a nap can help. So instead of a night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And we also see consolidation processes happening just as the result of having taken a short nap of less than an hour.
So it would make sense to nap right after learning?
Potentially, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Potentially. Yeah. Okay. And what kind of experiments are you planning to do once getting that grant?
If we're successful with the grant, then we would be running experiments to test some of these questions, like when during sleep is the best time to represent the material. And an important part of that grant would actually be to try to automize that process. So the way experiments have been done so far requires a dedicated student to stay up all night and monitor the electrical activity of the sleeping person's brain, and when the sleeper is in the appropriate state. So for these kinds of experiments, usually that's when they go into slow wave sleep. So then the experimenter starts playing quietly the new material that had been learned the previous day, and as soon as they detect that the sleeper is starting to wake up or moving out of slow wave sleep, then they stop playing the sounds, right? Mm-hmm. And in such a way, over the course of the night, you can present a participant with the material that you need, and then you test them the next day. Now, that's very labor intensive, and it would be very nice if you could save a poor student having to stay up all night every night for months to test lots of participants for an experiment. So the idea is to try to develop detection software that will monitor the sleeping brain's activity, the EEG activity of the brain, and then, as it were, through reliable detection of, okay, this the brain is now appears to be in slow wave sleep, trigger a computer to then present the auditory stimuli, and again monitor for the response of the brain to that presentation, and stop if things start to look as if they're changing. Mm-hmm. So that involves some developing various machine learning techniques with people interested. I also have colleagues here in Nijmegen who are interested in brain-computer interfaces, the idea of being able to direct behavior using responses picked up directly from the brain. So this is a variant of a brain-computer interface, but then mm-hmm. for the sleeping brain and these presentations of sounds and words.
Mm-hmm. And I guess – oh, sorry.
You know, so that's the kind of experiments that we'd be trying to run, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I assume you could later use this technology for mass application so that people can have an app or something and I don't know. Is there something needed on the head so that
So that's that's the other challenge of the grant is to try to make this something that would be possible on the mass market.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there are all sorts of questions like trying to reduce the number of electrodes that you need on the scalp.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really want people to have to wear a full head electrode cap mm-hmm. with 32 electrodes or 64 electrodes. You want to be able to do it with far fewer electrodes.
Yes.
But then indeed, the longer term goal is to try to produce some a marketable product that would that people would be happy to wear at night and benefit from.
And how long would the research take? Like how long would the grant be?
The grant would be a 4-year project.
4-year project.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have any concrete experiments in mind already? Like what do you want to try out with grammar and sounds?
Well, with sounds, the idea would be to set up an experiment in the first instance to test whether that effect that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that idea that when you've learned about a new sound, can you generalize that to perceiving that sound spoken by a new speaker?
Mm-hmm.
We would want to replicate that effect. It's been shown by people in another lab. And then we can start asking questions like, does it matter how easy or hard the sounds are to learn?
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned the th example. That's a classic example of someone not having a particular sound category in their native language and having to learn a new category.
Mm-hmm.
And the processes that are required for learning that appear to be different from the processes required to adapt existing categories. So mm-hmm. another example would be something like b and p. So in German, there are b's and p's, and in Dutch, there are b's and p's, and in English, there are b's and p's, and across many languages in the world,
mm-hmm.
there are these consonants, but they vary in their acoustic realization. So what counts as a good b in English actually sounds like a reasonably good p in Dutch,
okay.
for example.
Mm-hmm.
And what sounds like a good p in English sounds actually like a bad p in Dutch because it's got too much aspiration. Mm-hmm. So an English person will say pat, but a Dutch person would say something like pat with no aspiration on the initial p sound.
Mm-hmm.
So in that context, the Dutch person trying to improve their English doesn't have to learn a new sound like a th sound,
mm-hmm.
but has to shift their existing categories so that they accommodate the phonetic differences in the new language. And of course, they have to do that without messing up their first language, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need to still be able to speak Dutch or whatever the language may be.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the experiments we have in mind is to actually compare in these designs the sounds that are completely new versus sounds that are, modifications of existing categories. It's quite likely that the consolidation processes that are required for one kind of sound are different from those required for the other. And that may mean that, in the extreme, it may be that representation of the sounds works in only one of those cases and not in the other case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's great. That's really interesting research. I hope you get the grant, and I'm looking forward to the results.
Well, of course, we hope to get the grant too. Yeah.
And thank you so much for participating.
It was a pleasure.